With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Black Friday is around the corner. People waking up early to fight large crowds. And for what? To save $20, $40, maybe even $100? Here's another way you could spend your Black Friday. Sleep in. Then go to the Canopy Group's website at thecanopygroup.com and request a quote on your home and auto insurance. No long lines, no tug of war with merchandise, only better insurance coverage at an average savings of over $800 annually. Then take your $800 savings and have your own Black Friday, maybe the following Wednesday. That'd be good. This savings will continue every year as the Canopy Group's 40 professionals shop your coverage with their 16 companies. Canopy saves you money year in and year out. Imagine the great gifts you can buy with $800. Go to thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389. And get the best coverage for the best price in the comfort of your own home.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick. We never doubted them, right? Zim, Cousins, never a doubt in our minds this team had playoff potential.
Not when they took the two-minute break and everybody thought Cousins had thrown an interception, and then they came back and told us he hadn't. That was probably Has anybody's local image been transformed during a commercial break before? Because the whole narrative today was going to be, or after the game, was going to be, Cousins can't do it down the stretch, man. Threw that interception. That was terrible. Get rid of him. And now he's better than Rodgers. So that's a quick transformation for him.
I did think it was pretty clear, though, that the Packers' safety had not held on to the football. So, like, that, that to me was not a close, man, he might have caught it. I thought, no, he lost it.
I thought he might have had it on the way down. I don't know. The original call was interception, right?
Yep. So. Yeah, I think they said he did not, as the cliche now goes, survive the ground.
Yes, survive
He did
the
not
ground.
Survive the ground.
Shane Hockley, who I find to be one of the most despicable men in American sports, top 10 easy, He got in on it, and the guy dropped the ball, so that's his problem. There was no reason to, right? He had it in his hand.
Yeah. Oh, he could have got it. Oh, yeah.
There's no reason to.
No, there's no great.
I thought if I'm a Packer fan, I'm calling in drunk to the post game show about the drive in which they called the phony roughing penalty and the 33-yard pass interference that gave the Vikings a touchdown.
See, now I thought that the Packers lineman hit Cousins in the face mask, which is, you got to pull up. That's the thing. Like, why don't they coach these guys? The second that ball starts to come out, the most you should do is bear hug the quarterback. They drive through these guys. They're going to throw a flag. And this crew loves to throw flags. We talked about that.
Oh, yeah. They're
eight
crazy.
Of them against the Packers.
They're crazy.
Only three against the Vikings, so you are.
I just, my whole theory is, you shouldn't call a foul. You shouldn't call a penalty when in doubt. And Sean Hockley's whole theory is you should throw a penalty when in flag in doubt.
He learned from his old man.
Yes, he did. As I said before, he walks into the arena, looks at 60,000 people, and says, "Look at all the people came to see me today." Yep. It's the only league, really, that has three teams. I said this earlier today. They got the home team, the visiting team, and the officiating team. Mm-hmm. And the officials to have never had more influence. I think they have more influence in the outcome of a game than any other sport. In the NFL officials have. I was watching something, you know, later last night. I can't even. Which game was it? Chiefs?
Or San Diego, or
Chiefs,
the
baby.
Chargers.
I didn't watch any
Steelers.
Of the late, I didn't watch any
yeah,
of the
yeah, the Chiefs
game.
Were on against.
Chiefs. I was watching the Chiefs. I think there were six Dallas. Straight plays with a flag. I don't know who it was. I want to watch something where I see something. I yes. saw something.
Yes.
I want to see. I don't want to have to wait 12 seconds to see if some moron's going to get together with three other guys and decide that they saw a penalty. It's it drives me crazy. But you know what? It adds to the discussion of the NFL, which is all they want is conversation. Although this taunting is the dumbassest thing of all time. Did you see the one on the guy from Kansas City?
No.
The running back that came back, the little guy, hyphen name guy.
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Alaire.
Yeah. He scored, and he went like that. As he crossed the end zone, he pointed like me pointing to you. It wasn't like some big defiant point. It was like, hey, penalty. Meanwhile, as you point out, some guy intercepted one, and there was like 28 guys rolling around on the ground in celebration.
That's not a penalty.
Yeah, they're so stupid. What are you doing? What are you doing?
But why is that?
Get rid of Rich McKay as the head of the. Get rid
That's
of
the problem.
Cena. You know who should be the head of the cornerback. That's now doing TV that I love.
Aqib Talib.
He should be the head of the competition committee. Aqib Talib. Nah, that was okay. That's okay. You know, he'll.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, they keep empowering the officials with more and more rules.
And so
they think, oh, my God, I got to throw flags.
Well, I got to call a tawny. Jeez, I haven't called a tawny in 2 weeks.
Here's my question.
I better call a tawny. They called this Hockley crew. The opening night, called a taunting in the first period, even though the guy came over and then somebody said, that didn't look like taunting. And he said, well, let's say it was anyway.
Yeah.
Well, because they wanted to get one on the books.
The Bears guy, you know, who barely walked towards the Steelers sideline and got a taunting. But what I don't get is this. Okay, so the competition committee is largely a bunch of older, rich guys who get offended.
Yes.
So why for taunting didn't you say, okay. If you hear these, I don't know, four words.
Yeah.
That's taunting.
Yeah.
Like, there are words you can't use out there. But this whole thing of, well, you can celebrate as a team, which is taunting, but you can't get up and, you know.
But here's the deal.
I don't care.
Of the taunting generation, how many fights has it caused? Two? There's less fighting.
Yeah.
There's less fighting in the NFL than any league. There's more fighting in baseball.
And basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's more. And, you know,
because the next play,
hockey.
You can kick the crap out of your opponent in football.
Yeah,
that's why they wait.
Receivers and cornerbacks were put on this earth to play one-on-one and then give each other crap. That's what the game is.
Correct.
You know, that's you. It's so stupid. Who do you think beyond the committee? Who, Jerry Jones or somebody thought that this it was a bad look or some old.
I think Zim's on the committee right now. I think he's part of the
well,
competition.
He couldn't have been part. He couldn't have believed in this. He couldn't. He got out. He had to get outvoted.
But they just
it had
keep,
to come down. But, you know what? It had to come down from corporate. They got the old rich Republicans so mad at him about Black Lives Matter and everything. And one thing they probably heard is, they're just a bunch of guys taunting and screaming at each other. It had to come down from corporate because it's so stupid.
The problem, though,
nothing to do with competition.
Is every March, they come up with these new set of rules. I mean, that rule book must be an encyclopedia.
The best the NFL ever has been in 25 years was last year in the postseason, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And then Pelissero was one guy reporting. Look out now. They're gonna put the genie back in the bottle, and they have. It's I think it's worse than it's ever been. Anyway, that said, it was a hell of a football game. It was up and down and lively. And now you got two camps. You can say, oh, the Vikings with some breaks could be 8-2. Or you can say the Vikings could be 3-7, 2-8. Mm-hmm. You know, Detroit game they pulled out, and which they shouldn't have. But they're exactly where they belong, 5-5. That's them. They could get better, but this is, you know, the gods have evened everything out, and they're 5-5, and that's what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my question. I know they discovered Jefferson and all that, and Thielen, and they're throwing the ball more aggressively, but the Packer defense that tied Arizona up a notch and tied the Chiefs up a notch, what happened to that? They had a lot of injuries? Or
yeah, they've had, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. they've lost guys, and, I mean, that secondary is just now not that good.
Guys, yeah, they got the one kid who was making plays but getting beat. Yeah, Rossell,
they're just not that good.
Yeah. They were playing good, though.
But, I mean, this is the thing about the additional game that makes no sense. 16 games is perfect because this is such a war of attrition.
Yes.
Like, look at the games. Look at how many teams now don't have top players.
Yeah.
And we added a game. And so I mean, this literally comes down to partially how many guys by the end do you have who can still play?
Yeah, that's true. I've said that all along. But, you know, how they let him get away with that. I mean, D. Morris Smith's the dumbest guy to ever head a union in sports. No, you got to start negotiations by saying, we're negotiating for a 16-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring up 17 games, we leave. Yes. We're walking out. You're killing us the way it is. And they're going to get, they'll throw more dollars at these guys, and they'll get 18.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Which is not good for the product at all.
No.
Like, they like it more.
They want to go to March, don't they?
Yeah, I think they want the Super Bowl to fall on
last week,
Martin Luther King Day. Is that right? Or before, the day before it.
President's Day, I believe.
Yes.
So, no, Martin Luther King Day is in January.
Yeah, President's Day.
President's Day. President's Day. But then, because then you would have the Super Bowl played on that Sunday, President's Day on Monday, which is a holiday then,
mm-hmm.
and that also ties up basically until the combine completely then.
Yeah. Well, when is President's Day? 22nd or 12th?
You know what? I believe I screwed up. It's Valentine's Day. It's the Sunday before Valentine's
Day.
Well,
that's not a holiday.
President's Day is the 21st, and Valentine's Day is the 14th, which is the day after the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
In the future, they probably want to do it on President's Day.
That's correct.
Yes.
And that creates a built-in holiday on Monday.
Who gets President's Day off, though? The post office.
Everybody will start to now.
Yeah, right. Post office. And
the league really wants this.
You know, really, you now get any day off you want. Yeah. You just say, I'm working from home. See you in a week, you know?
Oh, God, that's so true.
It is. I'm working from home.
See you in a week? See you in a month?
Yeah.
I'm working hard from home.
I mean, I might not, you know. And if something, if you can't track them, somebody down, they're having trouble with their cell phone. Yeah, well, yeah, sure you are. You're having trouble when you look at it.
I turn it off.
Yeah, right. When you look at it, you don't.
Oh, working remotely.
Greatest scam in the history of America, working at home. This is.
In your drinking days, if you could have just worked from home.
Oh, man, yes. I would have never got anything done. I would have missed. I would have been like my old friend Stoney. Stoney, Dan Stone King, the great, late, great Stoney, later in life had a firing the bullet problem. You know, he was getting writer's block.
Yep.
And his best ever was he called in and told him that he couldn't get in his star column because there was a electricity blackout in Birdsville, wherever he lived. Those things can be checked.
Yeah, that's a bad.
Reporters. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you gotta come up.
You
with...
work with reporters.
Yes. Those...
They've got sources.
Yes. Those things.
I'm sorry,
checked.
Sir. There's no electricity. There's no electricity problem in Burnsville.
Although I will say, before this was before the time when we had Starbucks, so you couldn't just say, "Oh, why don't you go to Starbucks and crank that baby out?" So. Yeah, it would be the guys who can't. I'm a procrastinator, but when you need it, you need it. You know,
right? Yeah,
you know.
Yes,
but we got. It's still lonely as hell, and it's great when I go to the office. I go down. I go in twice a week at least. And there's five of us in there, Ripple and I and a couple other guys in the back. You know, it's Lilacs comes in a lot. I get to talk to Lilacs. He's in there.
That's a big rent check to write for five of you, by the way.
It sure is. It sure is. Man alive. But it's as long as we got the Delta variant, that's not going to change. They're not going to be back downtown for a year.
Yeah.
Next summer, maybe.
If they
next
ever
next summer,
all come
and then everybody
downtown.
Takes all summer off.
Right. So. I was going to say, now we're into the fall.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it was a fine victory for our boys. They're now sixth, right, in the wild card race?
Yes, 5-5, but they're tied with a bunch of teams, but they right now hold the tiebreaker.
And, nine will get you in, no doubt about it.
Yes.
All I got to do. And they got three of them, two Bears and a Lion, so they don't have to find many other wins, do they? Mm.
They shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. You know who looked god-awful yesterday? That Cowboys offensively against the mediocre Chiefs. They were brutal.
As Sid said, crazy league.
Dak, I wonder if Dak's healthy since he came back because he looked terrible. They were awful and just stupid mistakes. Just goofy stuff, you know, dropping passes and who's got Josh Gordon? Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they threw him five and he dropped the first four. Something like that.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
then
no,
he
I didn't
one.
See
then
that.
He caught one, so.
I did not see a stitch of that game.
Did Odell get the play? I didn't look at the thing. Did Odell play for the Rams or not?
I would have to look. I don't know.
Or they play tonight, maybe. I don't know. I don't know when they play.
I believe they play tonight. The Rams.
The Rams?
Okay. Yeah, I get don't a they? Kick out of a. He's a receiver. He's been playing for the Browns, and we got it. We don't know if he'll be ready to play. The hell? It's a receiver. You know, run out there 10 yards, cut to the sideline, I'll throw you the pass. Easiest position to play in the NFL, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And, and they got one of their guys hurt, right? One of their the good Woods got hurt. So
the Rams actually have a bye this week.
Okay.
The Rams and Broncos were both off, and it's going to be the Giants and Buccaneers tonight. And exciting. Oh, the Giants on Monday Night Football. I can't wait to see Joe Judge's 3-6 bunch of mutts.
I still don't think Daniel Jones stinks, but the team around him does stink.
Joe Judge is another Belichick guy. Yeah. They are awful.
He must sabotage them. No, never hire a Belichick guy. Never hire a guy that's working for the smartest guy in football because he's just living off the genius of Belichick.
Yep.
Josh McDaniels might have a chance if he gets hired again, right?
Might.
He's been around him long enough, and I think he lets him call a lot of plays and stuff. But you don't want to hire somebody who works for a genius. You want to hire the guy who makes somebody into a genius. Yeah, right.
No, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's hat has been worth a damn. The guy in Miami is, we lost Brian Flores or whatever his name is. You know, is it Brian Flores. Oh, he was the defensive. Patricia, he was the defensive coordinator for Belichick. Yeah, sure he was.
Yes.
Hey, you, pencil neck, the guy with the pencil. I mean, this is what we're doing this week. I still can't, though, figure out the Super Bowl that was played here. That has to be the most poorly coached Belichick game of all time, to let Philadelphia go up and down the field like that with a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It still amazes me that Philadelphia could win a shootout against that team.
Well, it helped that they cleaned up and changed the catch rule that week.
Yes, it did.
That's
yes,
one of the most remarkable things that got discussed, but not discussed nearly enough.
No, before the Super Bowl, we're going to change the rule. I heard Mike, whatever his name is, the referee guy.
Pereira.
I always mispronounce his name. I heard him last night, it was last night's game, they saw something on the video screen and got together and changed the call, which he said the somebody grabbing a face mask, and they changed, and they just changed the call, even though you can't do that. He said, You can't do that. According to our procedures, you cannot review a face mask penalty. And
so once you throw the flag, it's...
Well, they didn't call it. They hadn't called it.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Because they'd call unsportsmanlike on the other guy.
Okay.
The referee saw it and forgot, basically, that the other guy had started it by yanking around on the Chiefs guy's face mask. And I think it was that game. They looked up and the whole crowd went nuts when they showed it on the board.
Right.
And apparently Joe Buck said that they looked up at the board and saw it. And because they kept showing it on the board and they got together and made it offsetting penalties. So just do what they want to do, I guess.
That's pretty much it.
It was right. But anyway, that's now I had somebody who I trust for his football knowledge. He still thinks 3-4. He still thinks they're going to lose one to the Bears. I don't think you can. I don't think you can lose one to the Bears.
I think they're going to face Dalton, who they lost to last year with Dallas. But I think the Bears have. I think the Bears are done.
Yeah, they're done. But they know this guy's gone. And
yeah,
they know Nagy's gone, and you know.
Yeah, it doesn't feel. Unless I'm wrong here, it doesn't feel like the Bears ordinarily
here's the other thing. You know what another tip off is? When they start giving season ending surgery, to a guy that could still be playing.
He tried, Pat.
When they start giving out the season ending surgeries, you know that he knows that the coach is gone and everybody knows it. It'll be like the we've never seen anything around here like Les Steckel in 84, man. They were driving around town stopping at street corners asking guys if they wanted to play by the last 3 weeks. They were bailing out on him left. And everybody who could come up with anything was not playing at the end of that year because football's no fun. Football's really no fun when you're bad.
Yes.
And football's really terrible when you're bad and you hate the coach or you think he's a moron.
Yes.
So and I think Chicago has all those things going for it. Right
yeah,
now.
Mac, what? He stopped playing late October, I think, and he tried his hardest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Really gave it an effort to come back.
Yes, that's true. Meanwhile, right now, what's the Wisconsin Gopher point spread? You know?
I have not seen it.
But
I'll see if I can find it.
Nebraska and Iowa opened as a pick'em, and Nebraska is now like a 4-point favorite.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
We don't have any respect for the Iowa offense.
They blew out all Frost's offensive coaching staff, right?
Yes.
It's a bunch of guys who...
Yeah, they figured out how... They put up 28 on the great Wisconsin defense and still managed to get beat. They can lose... His teams have been capable of... They escaped with defeat more than any team of all time. They're 1-7. They're tied with Northwestern.
I'm looking at Circa Sports, Badgers at Gophers, -6.5 for the Badgers.
Holy cow, that's high. I'd take the Gophers in that number, wouldn't you? I mean, Wisconsin's playing good, but I think that Wisconsin, when they came in here and beat them in this similar situation in 19, was better than this Wisconsin team. They had Jonathan Taylor. And I think the Gophers that team was better. The 2019
yes.
Wisconsin team was much better. And even though they won 7 in a row.
They were better.
And they had better quarterback. This kid's terrible. And the Gophers, I think, this year have better personnel than they had. They just haven't played up to that standard. I mean, they got all these crusty old... Now, they had the great receivers. Tyler
right.
Johnson and Bateman, but you know Morgan hasn't played as well. But the Gophers are as good as they were 2 years ago, and Wisconsin isn't. So you can win that game, I think.
What's our temp supposed to be that day? Are we gonna get?
Are we gonna get the snow?
40-ish.
Oh shucks!
No, snow. It's not good then. Yeah.
One of the great photos in Star Tribune history that game 2 years ago with the Jonathan Taylor kissing the. Aaron Levinsky got it. Jonathan Taylor kissing the axe with the snow, the confirmation of that photo was unbelievable. And I bring it out every once in a while.
I'm sure you do. Agitator.
I got there on my Twitter. In fact, this week I better put that up on my
The golfer holders already hate you enough.
Yeah, they pretty much ignore me now. That's good. That's okay. But when the not that greatly anticipated book comes out next summer, I'm going to offer them a $3 discount.
$3 off?
Yeah, $3
Holy
off.
Holy cow, I might join Gopher Hole.
Gopher Hole, guys. Joe, Gopher Hole, guys. Yes, I'm gonna offer them a discount. So
how bad is Indiana football again?
Woo! And they gave this guy
awful.
They were talking about this guy's a lunatic, by the way.
Oh, I know he is. We talked about it last year.
He's crazier than Fleck.
Oh, way crazy. Yeah. Oh, he's
it's all cheerleading. And they got sucked into it.
This guy is but I mean they are awful.
Oh God, yes. They're Indiana. They're back. They lost their quarterback. That quarterback, Penix or whatever his name was, he should have been the player. He should have won the Heisman.
Yeah.
When you see what he was.
And he got off to not a great start this year.
No.
But they are just
banged up. Oh,
pathetic.
They're terrible. Yeah. They should. Purdue can't lose to them. There's no chance.
No. And so if we get a Purdue win, a Gophers win, we'll see. And Nebraska beats Iowa on Friday, the Gophers win the Big Ten West.
Bring on the Buckeyes or the Wolverines. But
it's going to be the Buckeyes, and they are back. Have you seen them?
Yeah. Well, Stroud was 32 for 35,
Michigan,
for 425, maybe more than that, 400 and some yards, and 6 touchdowns, and they took him out. They had a quarter to go.
Ohio State.
Michigan State just gave this guy a 10-year contract.
No, I know.
And
Mel
they
Tucker.
Get beat 49.
Did you see that contract?
And there'd be, $9 million.
Yeah, I think he's the second highest paid college football coach out there.
What are they doing?
I have no idea.
It's worse than signing Randy Dobnik.
Hey, Randy bought his parents a house, okay? I mean, we all should feel good. Coming up on Valley Sports North, here's the house.
You give this guy a contract. Now, he's proven he'll leave. Because he did it. He left Colorado after, 1 year, right?
Yeah, yes.
And, I mean, you give him a 10-year contract for that kind of ungodly money. And they basically have done it with transfers. He got, they hit the transfer portal huge.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given him that contract.
Why? What's the hurry?
Because they're afraid.
It's home.
But wasn't the rumor that LSU was going to pursue him?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, how about Dan Mullen?
Good God.
Last year, fights Alabama down to the wire.
Gets an extension.
This year, they were rated what? They were about fourth at one time, right? And they went in the tank, and they fired him 12. He only gets 12, which doesn't set the record for the SEC, because the guy at Texas A&M got 17, and then his other coaches got 7 or 8. So
here's my question.
Where does it?
It's 1 year, but what about Sark? Texas is awful.
Oh,
Sark can't coach.
They got beat again.
They lost to Kansas 2 weeks ago.
Yes, 57-56.
Yeah, so what are they really going to ride this out? Because he's getting paid a boatload, too.
Yes, and whose idea was it? Now, I've talked to people down there. Tim Herman, the guy they fired. Tom Herman. Bad guy. Just as a guy. Bad guy. Okay.
Okay.
Bad guy.
Yep.
But it's Texas. Who cares? But they cost him $24 million to hire. But then they got Sark right away. Whose idea was that?
I don't know. Who had
a connection to Sark?
I don't know.
Their agent?
I don't know.
They got beat again. When they lost 5 in a row, I think it was the first time since 1956. And now it's 6 in a row.
Yes, it was the first time. Yep. Because we talked about it last week.
That's it. How screwed up is that league? Oklahoma and Oklahoma State play this week, right? Is it this week? Whatever it is. And then they're going to turn around and play again the next week in the championship game by all likelihood. Because they play, they just have one versus two. Mm-hmm. Is how they play their championship game. So you Bedlam game, and then they're going to have another Bedlam game and the next week.
Texas is going to the SEC, right?
Yes,
where they'll get their ass kicked by good teams. Still,
oh,
it'll be worse.
Worse,
yeah. Lost to Kansas. My God, what's
they'll be in the West?
What's Alabama going to do to you?
I wonder how they're going to reconfigure that. Poor Missouri. If they go completely, Missouri's in the East now, but they're going to rejigger things. But what if Missouri, poor old Mizzou, ends up in there with Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, Arkansas, and then Alabama and Auburn? They'll go years without winning a game.
Yeah. I think it might be a life goal. If I was a young coach, I think it might be a goal to become a college head coach and get myself fired.
Fired, yes.
Because it's the greatest transition to retirement, basically.
And they tell us how they have to drop sports because of finances,
yeah, right. but I'm
willing to come up with $24 million to fire a guy.
Nobody rips off taxpayers like fired college football coaches.
Yeah.
You know, well, state university.
It is.
Well, I don't know where it comes out of. I don't care.
But we build the facility for him and stuff like that. Yeah.
Dan Mullen is getting $12 million. He's what? In his 50s, probably?
Yes, right.
40s?
Yeah. Well, he was at Mississippi State, right?
Yeah.
Mississippi State, yeah.
But, I mean,
hired him away.
He could be in a position to seriously not work another day in his life.
You know who could be moving on?
By being bad.
You know who could be moving on if somebody's got the right money?
Who's that?
Our guy Lane.
Oh, God.
Somebody's
moving on.
I mean, Ole Miss is fine, but you can only do so much at Ole Miss. He's, somebody will come with bigger money and he'll be gone.
Dan Mullen's 49.
Is that right? He looks
happy 50th with $12 million.
Yeah, but he looks 60.
Yeah,
he
looks 60. Yeah, because coaches look terrible. Yeah, Lane's going to move on. Lane is, that guy's as big a mercenary as they come.
Mm-hmm.
He's also crazy.
So how do you expect the Ghosts to show up Saturday? I know they'll be fired up, but are they going to play their A game or not?
I think you got to like
their chances a little better, though, because this great Wisconsin defense just gave up 28 to Wisconsin.
This Wisconsin team's not that good.
No, they're very good defensively. Had been. They got that Chanel, the kid from Grantsburg, Wisconsin, who might be the National Defensive Player of the Year.
But like you said, that 19 Wisconsin team was a far more
more difficult team. Offensive line was a bunch of seniors who kicked the hell out of
I don't like their I chances.
I don't like the quarterback, though. Well, I think they got a 40% chance to win.
The Gophers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
PJ struggles in big games. The quarterback's just not that good. Tanner's not very good.
He's better now that Vaughtman Bell's playing, though, because he knows who to throw to. And then how about discovering the tight end? Wow, that kid
is incredible. Yeah. Incredible offensively when you discover players.
He's been there all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't love their chances.
No, but they, if they win the West, they'll get a much better bowl game, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get one of the big six, but they might be back in the old Citrus Bowl or whatever we call that damn thing now.
Yeah, if they win the West, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd they beat Auburn in? Was that the Outback
in Tampa? Oh,
so the Outback, the Citrus is one peg higher, right? I think because they pay a little more money.
Okay.
The one in
lose track of.
Well,
who
you got
pays
the
what.
Big. The Big Ten basically has a pecking order.
Yes.
Of what bowl game?
Yes, because the pinstripe is like five or six, and that's when.
Yeah.
That's the one that we ordinarily talk about. The Gophers.
We've never
maybe
been
going
to the
to,
pinstripe.
Never been to it.
Let's go to the pinstripe.
Yankee Stadium would be fun,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah.
What the hell? Holidays, New York, nothing wrong with that.
Well, Gopher fans, if you're going to go to the Pinstripe Bowl, as a guy who was contemplating a trip to New York next week, I recommend that you get a hold of Steve Urban and get on the...
a little expensive right now?
Get on the charter and take whatever hotel you could get. Because if you want to stay downtown, it's about four bills for a courtyard.
You serious?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
What's going on there?
I don't know, but...
Post-COVID?
We wanted to join some friends there, but honest to God, if we went for 5 days, it would cost $6,000-$7,000
by the time. Oh my God.
By the time you flew in,
what's the plane
for
fare?
Your hotel.
What's the airfare?
I saw the hotels, I couldn't find anything
that just bailed on.
I couldn't find anything that wasn't insane. The east side where we usually stay, $450 or something like that. Yeah.
They're trying to make up all they lost from tourism
during
COVID.
And apparently they're succeeding because incredible. We were there once for Thanksgiving. It's great. We watched the parade from like two blocks away, but just saw all the goofy people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the stores. A lot of the stores are open, having their sales right then after the parade. But mm-hmm.
It's great this time of year.
You got 50,000 people downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I pulled a sneaky one on the wife, though. The night after Thanksgiving, the Metropolitan Opera, or the Metropolitan whatever the hell it is, starts the Nutcracker Suite, you know, the Nutcracker Ballet. And it's not opera, it's ballet. So I called my ticket guy. I said, how much for a ticket? Because we didn't have them, and we didn't know for sure we were going, and it was like three bills, you know. And he says, I can get you two right in the front. And I said, why don't you give me one right in the front? And then I told him, he only had one. He only had one. So she gets in there, and there's an empty seat next to her. And she says, you liar.
Hey, I'm surprised you brought the one. That was nice.
Well, she was. I mean, you're in New York already, but I just couldn't see paying $300 for myself to watch a ballet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm not.
You know what? I think what you did was very nice.
Yes,
Husband of the Year stuff.
Yes, I walked around town. And,
there's plenty to do.
Yeah, walked in, even though I don't drink, walked in and a couple of old bars, famous bars, and looked at the locals and stuff like that.
Man, the hotels being that much is remarkable.
Ridiculous. Now, you know, it can't get better until after Christmas, that's for sure.
Right.
I wouldn't think. So, anyway. What is our view of the surging, much improved Timberwolves? They look pretty damn good.
Who's competitive now? I think they might lose to Golden State, maybe.
Yeah.
The Bulls, maybe. But I mean,
yeah.
Beyond that, it's going to be a series of 25 point victories at the rate they're going.
I do like the lineup that he's starting. Vanderbilt, they got the three guys that want to shoot, right?
Yes.
And so you got to have a couple of guys who aren't shooters, right? Vanderbilt is a hard worker. You know, he gets 8 rebounds a game. And, and Beverly really is a defender. First one they've had in God knows how long.
Yes.
Great hands.
Yep, I really like him.
And does stuff. And then that way McDaniels can come in and get a few shots when he comes off the bench. And,
mm-hmm. and a few
I like Naz Reid. I like Naz Reid a lot as a as a backup center, and you know they're pretty good, and all of it depends on Russell. I mean, if Russell's gives you a good game and doesn't feel the need to shoot 14 threes and make three, he's been pretty good lately. If that's going to be him, fine. Yes. But
and if Ant plays like he's playing too,
yeah. Although he'll throw up that crazy three,
he will.
Very interesting quote from Finchie, I thought, when they were after his great game, Edwards' great game. Finch's pretty good on the quotes, but I read the quotes that, or maybe it was in advance for that game, but, he's really good 1 out of 3.
Yep.
We got to get him really good 2 out of 3, and then you're a good player. But you can tell he's an NBA realist because he says, you know, the really great players are good 2 out of 3. Uh-huh. And then Steph and those guys are good 3 out of 4. But he's a realist about the NBA. But that was, you can see him trying to keep Edwards' head from getting super large, right?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think he's going to be a competitor. I I think he's a character. I don't think he's a raving egomaniac like Cat and some of the other guys.
No. He gets it far more than Cat does.
Yeah. Ant does. I think he enjoys victory when he's not the main guy. You know, I think he's fine with that too. But who knows? All I know is from listening to a few interviews and anything.
He's got the great quotes, though.
Oh, God.
You were right. I love the quotes.
The quotes are magnificent. And it is somehow works better with this form of English that he's speaking, which, Mrs. Liverman at Fulda High School would give him a lot of D-minuses, mm-hmm. But that's fine.
He'd take him smiling, though. Yeah. That's the best part about him.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got that air that I like.
I got a hunch that when he was a student, and even before they all knew he was a great basketball player, he could schmooze him into a higher grade. You know, I think they just, because he's a character, they gave him a good grade. But he's personality-wise, he's moving up on the list of interesting characters in town, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cat gives these long press conferences, but I never know how much of what he says to take as real.
Yeah.
Ant, I think, is telling you the truth.
Yep. But they needed this surge not only for, you know, for their own, you know, image and drawing some people. They had a nice crowd. They announced 17. Did they have that many? I don't know. Probably 15.
Which night?
The last home game.
I wasn't there, yeah.
But 15, but, you know, they'll fill it Wednesday because that's the night before Thanksgiving is, that's if you can't sell tickets that night, you know, can't sell them at all. But Cat, if they start playing well, we don't have to go through the mid-season Cat Watts out, right?
Right.
Because that was 100% predictable that was going to happen if they kept losing.
Right. No. And Finch, you know what? I like Finch.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he gets it.
He's just a pro coach.
Yes.
And he's not, you know, he's a rookie head coach, but he's not overwhelmed by it at all. And
yep.
I think he knows that, hey, we can get better here. We can do okay. And then 2 years from now, the better we get, I'm going to get fired anyway. He knows that, you know.
He's got curmudgeon to him, but he's not a curmudgeon, if that makes sense. Like, he's got enough.
No.
He's got enough, though, you know, he's not Pollyanna.
Yeah.
He doesn't get excited about things.
No. We know nothing about him, do we, as far as he's been a long-time assistant. Is there a Mrs. Finch? Is there a fan? Do we know anything about him?
No, that's a good question. I have no idea.
I don't think we know.
I don't think
he's just kind of this mysterious guy showed up, and he's got a lot of friends in the game.
Yeah.
You know, and he's considered an offensive guru.
He coached in Europe for quite a while,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he did.
And then he coached the G League team for the Rockets and got to know Gerson there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, too. These basketball coaches are lifers.
And it's like they don't take getting fired personally.
No.
Did you see who's the interim to replace Luke Walton?
No.
Alvin Gentry.
No.
Alvin Gentry.
Welcome back.
Alvin's had 14 jobs, about 12
You're
times
right.
as head coach. Alvin, yeah. Alvin looked around. He probably had 8 offers to be an assistant. He said, who's the best guy that got a chance to get fired? You know, Luke isn't that likable.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'll go to Sacramento.
Luke's going to get fired.
He's young and dumb enough.
And
if the Kings play better,
yep.
Alvin will be the coach again. He'll have another team.
You are right, though.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. They don't take it
personally.
That's a sport
where you just get fired and then you'll go latch on to another staff eventually.
Yes, yeah. You'll always, somebody will always have a. That's what makes Popovich so amazing. That here's a guy who he came in, he'd been the GM, he made himself the coach,
yep.
and the idea that it was going to be interim. And, you know, he kind of shrugs off the importance of games. And I mean, he's this guy, like, it doesn't seem, you know, he's this deep thinker who goes out to dinners and bottles hundreds of dollars of wine. He's this wine connoisseur. But he won't quit.
How is he doing this now?
He's 72 now. How can he watch this team? Yeah.
I recognize almost no names on that team.
No.
I looked at the box score when they played here. Seriously, their starters, I think I knew one name.
I got news for him, though. If he thinks he can be really rotten and win the lottery again and get a difference, God already gave him Tim Duncan, already gave him a lousy year just in time to get Tim Duncan to go with David Robinson. He ain't doing that again. You're not going to be that lucky again.
And like you said, he's what, 72 now?
72, yeah. And isn't he going to be the Olympic coach?
He replaced your guy.
Now,
Coach K.
Did Coach K coach the
I think
last
Coach K
Olympics?
Is done. He's done now, and I think Pop is the guy.
Pop, so he's going to be a 75-year-old Olympic coach, huh?
And you want that headache?
Yeah.
With all those guys? Well, I mean, it's a hell of a team.
The trouble is to try to get him to play now. You know, the whole idea that it was a... I mean, I don't blame him. If you're Steph Curry...
Vineyard and get drunk.
If you're Steph Curry, and you play, you know, 38 minutes, 80 times, and then have 30 playoff games, now you want to go to the...
Do
2 weeks of pre-trial and then go to the Olympics. How the hell can you?
Off-season basketball to me, I don't get.
No.
Why
don't they go to
these guys that leave their team to fly?
To Europe. Yeah. I ran into a Marnie doing a long sit down with Patrick Beverley, and it looked like it was probably done on media day, and they had him at a desk, and she was there. And it was pretty damn good. He was good. And because usually I turn those things off in 30 seconds. But he says, well, I like to go to Europe and I'm into fashion and stuff like that. Yeah. You know? And he's
Butler is.
He wears all these clothes. And they go to Europe. That's what I'd do. I'd go to Europe.
But he's not going to play basketball.
Oh, hell no.
No, that's fine.
He's going to Monaco to go down and observe what's happening on the beach.
That's awesome. Good for him. Right. He should.
That's right.
He's rich enough to.
That was, to me, the greatest thing about the Dream Team. They got these guys, and they had to bribe the hell out of them, right, to put together the greatest team that God has ever assembled, right, in any sport. Honest to God, this is true. Never happened to me. I think maybe Puck's home run or something. When they went on the floor for the first time in Portland, the hair stood up on my arms. When I saw that, Magic Bird, Jordan, the whole crew. But when they went to Europe for their final tune-up, you know where they went? Monaco.
I saw the documentary
months
ago.
For 10 days.
Yeah.
They were in Monaco gambling and hitting the beach and
partying,
but they'd go over for an hour of practice every day. And
Chuck Daly, right?
Yeah. Chuck Daly was the perfect coach.
I'm sure Chuck was out there gambling with them.
Yes, Chuck was a beauty. Chuck had nicer suits than they did.
Chuck
in his suits.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was, that was one of the fun things of my life, being not in Monaco with them, but being in San Diego with them for a week and then going to Portland. And, the NBA used to be so good PR-wise. It was incredible. They had Brian McIntyre, and they convinced these guys to, schmooze them up, boys. Mm-hmm. Fellas, that's why you're making all that money. They had the thing on Friday before All-Star games. They'd all show up.
Yeah, football
be down
players
in this.
Hate that stuff.
They all be showed, but it was not go over and talk to this. They were in there having a drink, and all these old NBA writers, which is really a cult, Jasner from Philly and guys like this who've been covering the NBA as this secret for 30 years. They just over there, it was just BSing with them. Charles came. Let's go over and talk to Charles. And Charles.
Barkley must have been so good.
Oh, God, he was great because he'd gotten married on Thursday. Showed up for his honeymoon at the All-Star game. And on Sunday, that's I can tell it now. I probably told it before. Jasner, he said, "Do you see my wife out there?" He said, "Yeah, she's out there waiting for you." And he says, "She said she was leaving at halftime and going back home. I wanted to go to the strip club tonight." This is like,
of course
he's telling the whole, the media's all around. I wanted to, he's already mad at his new wife because she's still there, so he can't go to the strip club Sunday night. Oh, God, that old NBA was great, man. Those guys were just character because it was a club. You know? Mm-hmm. It was a club.
Well, their popularity at the time, while it was growing, was nothing like the sport is today.
No, it wasn't, but it was, but there was, it was guys who covered the NBA. It was like hockey guys.
Right.
You couldn't get them off the beat.
Right.
They just.
Well, the sport was like that.
Yeah.
Right.
It was, some beat writer for Toronto would show up in the everybody in the league knew him. You know, they knew players on both teams, first name basis, the whole thing. And the same thing in the NBA. It was just this clicky club.
Mm-hmm.
Wicker covered him for a couple of years, the 76ers. And Tony and the guy, he always tell the story about they were out in Portland on December 23rd. Or 22nd. And if they didn't catch the red eye from Portland to Philly, they weren't going to get home for Christmas because every plane was packed. And Earl Strom was the ref. And when he was during the timeout, they said, Earl, we got a red eye to catch, Earl. We can't have overtime today. And he says, don't worry, fellas, I'm on the same plane. And he said the last 4 minutes, the team that was ahead, every foul was called on the losing team to get the damn game over with. None of this, you know, Earl was going to make the save. Well, they had like 2-man officiating crews.
Yeah.
And I bet they didn't have 20 refs.
Well, the teams flew commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a lot of, yeah, most
a lot of
the time,
teams flew
most
commercial.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was a big thing when the Lakers started flying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, team planes were not the norm.
No, well, you know, my Twins baseball years, they had maybe 20% charters. That's for a baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they had the, it was about 76 or 7 that they came up with the rule that they had to have an empty seat. If they couldn't get them in first class, they had to be an empty seat. Well, the airplanes had put somebody in those poor people and they'd, you know, the 10 minutes of boarding was always trying to throw guys out of the in the middle seat, you know, and because the plane had sold them the people out at the gate, they just here's an empty seat because right. They had those empty seats right. Would sell the
and
seats.
You could go to the gate and buy a seat.
Some dork, you know, some guy would be sitting there like this, and all of a sudden, two Twins players would come in and say, "Get this guy out of this seat," you know. They'd take him off the plane, or they'd, you know, it was and then sometimes you'd get the pilot that had come out and say, we're not doing that. We got to leave. So then they'd have this. So then this guy would be in the empty middle seat between them getting these hateful glares from the players, you know. So, yeah, it was.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I was, you know, the writers, we were flying with them, too, and we'd have all, you know, we didn't have the empty seat rule, but.
Right.
But
then, no, I'm sure you didn't.
No. So, but. When we flew with the Twins on their rare charters and everything, the reason we stopped flying with them, in addition to getting stuff written, but this was also when you could catch a flight out of Kansas City at midnight, you know,
mm-hmm.
Braniff and stuff. Everybody had red eyes. And but the main reason is financial, because the Twins always charged the newspapers first class airfare.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So for the accommodations they gave it, which was great for us, but we didn't fly first class. We were usually in the back.
I was going to say, you were probably way in the back.
They just charged. When they send the newspaper a bill, it'd be 400 instead of 200. You know?
Right.
And so somebody noticed that.
I'm surprised the papers cared back then.
Well, they didn't care greatly, but they started, like, in the late 70s, they started to care. So
now,
back in the day, it was.
Now, if it's not 80 bucks, they get ticked off.
I'll tell you, though. The Star Tribune and my coworkers have no idea how lucky we are. Did you see Saturday, 12 pages, not an ad, 12 full pages, everything. They covered everything. And Rachel's in Omaha covering the curling.
Yep, I saw
to
that.
See if Schuster makes it. Sunday, 18 pages.
Yep. Oh, it's incredible.
It is. Space they're still
giving. Look at the Pioneer.
The space they're still giving us is incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. The Pioneer is more like the rest of the papers in the country.
Yeah.
They're trying to
and they've got
put
the
out
same
a paper
guys
squeezing into the space.
Jace and Greeter are covering everything.
Each got six beats.
Poor Jace will be at a high school football game on Friday, the Wolves on Saturday, something else, and Greeter's got soccer, Gopher football, Gopher men's basketball,
unbelievable.
Enterprise.
Jace texts me and tweets me once in a while to agitate me. And
he's a good, great
he's
kid.
A great guy, and I said, why aren't you working? I don't know. Where do you get all this free time?
But I mean, that poor guy is freezing his ass off at, you know, a Stillwater football game.
Yes. Yeah, he covers the high school.
And the next thing he's doing is asking Fitchy about Ant.
Yeah, it's...
I have a lot of respect for that.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Shipley is like... I think he's now, like, putting out the paper 2 days a week, and he's still writing.
Yeah, it's
anytime
columns.
They need something. Yeah, it's incredible.
But you're right. The Star Tribune is not the norm.
Oh, God, no. No, it's not. It's...
Well, you got what? Three people on the Vikings? Yeah.
Three people.
Three on the Vikings.
Time on the Vikings, two on the Twins.
Yeah.
So. Two on the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
I hear. That's the rumor. Yeah. And,
And you help out the Twins, too, huh? But you're not going to. The place is gone now. In the fort.
I might not even go.
Really?
It just doesn't. Is that, you know. You don't get access.
What was the whole plan to spend more time in Florida to get out of this godforsaken weather?
I know, but it was to
now you're
also
hunker down here.
Also, I could pound spring training and do some. Well, there's, you know, the clubhouse is not open.
Yeah, what's access for 2020? Well, I should say once the lockout is over, what's access?
No idea. But it's not going to be. We're never going to be back. We're never going to be able to wander into the clubhouse.
Covering sports is.
We're never going to be able to wander into the clubhouse at 7:45 in the spring and just wait for somebody.
You know, the pandemic has made
these teams
any knowledge.
And you know what?
I think they started it, Pat.
In retrospect.
I think COVID was started by an organization of sports.
In retrospect, the major league sports teams and the major college teams, they're delighted in the pandemic. The pandemic's the greatest thing that ever happened to them.
Well, aside from ticket sales, absolutely.
Zoom, they had a bad year. Yes, yeah. They had a bad year.
Oh, as far as...
But Zoom, you know damn well, like with the Twins, if you're on the road with them, getaway day, they're going to Zoom. Rocco's going to be on Zoom. Rocco's not going to...
They can do whatever they want, yes.
Yeah, they could. Now they're going to make... And I think we got generations here of sports writers who don't mind it.
Well, it certainly cuts the workday down, but you can't find out anything.
You can't find out anything, and you can't.
They control everything
now.
The
worst part is you can't. If you get some guy on the phone for 12 minutes by yourself, that's great.
Right, but I mean, how often are you then going to get information because it's on the phone?
Yeah, well, that's
but, I mean,
true.
You can't,
no, but what I'm saying is that's the best you can do. Mitch Garver, I was trying to get Mitch Garver all spring. And we couldn't get in the clubhouse, blah, blah. You couldn't get him. I was driving back to the condo. He called me, thank God, good guy. I pulled off into the grass on the cell phone, scratching out notes on, because I wasn't going to say, can you call me back in 15 minutes?
Yeah, you wouldn't hear from him.
No, so I'm scratching out notes in the grass, people honking that I'm pulled off the side of the road outside
time
of the ballpark.
For a sober alert.
I'm going like this, right? And that's in more former days, you'd go down there at 7:45 in the morning and talk to him for 20
minutes. It's like, I contend that there's no question that the Vikings' offensive changes. There's more. There's a story. More took place, but you can't get it. People to ask them about it.
No. Is the locker room open?
No.
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 It's all stand up interviews.
Yes. They come out. It's like college. So they'll come out to a table and they talk.
That's it.
Rodgers, because he's mad and he doesn't want to wear a mask, pulled the plug on in person stuff and will only do Zooms now.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame him.
Because he said, I don't want to wear a mask.
Yep.
And plus, he's mad at the media.
Yeah, well, he got hell, but he violated
rules
by not wearing a mask. Well, Does Cousins doesn't wear a mask?
He does now.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, he was supposed to be.
So when he does his interview, he wears a mask?
Yesterday he was wearing it.
Really?
Yes. But he's not doing Zoom. He's coming out, you know, after a game, which Rodgers could do.
When he comes out, is he wearing a mask?
Yes. Now he is. He wasn't previously.
Okay.
Before the Rodgers thing, he was not wearing a mask. Now he comes out and he's wearing a mask. Dalvin is too. So if you're not vaxxed,
that's why I couldn't figure out what people were ripping. There's reasons to rip Rodgers, but I couldn't figure out why people were ripping him.
Well, I think
for not wearing a mask in his interviews, because nobody was. Thielen's not wearing a mask.
The league was supposed to enforce it and didn't.
Oh, okay.
So it's more of a league thing. But I just think that this Viking story about what's changed would be a great story because things happen. Like this is never just, oh, my God, let's throw more.
Yeah. Right.
But you can't get at anyone to find out. And I'm not saying it's earth shattering. I'm saying it's interesting.
Yes, it is.
It'd be a great Sunday story about what changed here.
Yeah. Who got the
who what, got to
did,
whom?
Did Zim say,
what did Mike decide?
Zim say, okay, that's enough of this. We got
right.
You know, we got.
Did somebody above Mike say, Mikey, we got to throw more? You know.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you start the season. When you start the season and you look at the team's assets, their number one asset was Jefferson and Thielen, right? Wide receivers is their number one assets. And, you know, Thielen, the feisty little SOB that he is, was sharp enough to rip him a little bit for her. Jefferson's too nice of a kid. He doesn't say anything. But obviously somebody said, you know.
But that's the type of thing in a locker room you can say, hey, what do you know? What happened here? And you can get information on
you can't
it. That's
be
all
a,
gone.
You can't be afraid of your $40 million quarterback. But
correct.
If think of what the reaction would be if the interception, if the Savage hadn't dropped the interception. I mean, it would be, oh, you can't win with him, blah, blah, blah. They're dead. You know what? If they lose yesterday, they still weren't dead.
That's this league.
I've been saying the whole time. It's getting late.
Yep.
It's getting with seven teams in the playoffs and extra game on the schedule.
This season,
there's no urgency.
Is a tribute to Sid Hartman. Crazy league season.
Crazy league.
This season is proving everything that Sid always said.
How about Buffalo?
I know.
They were going to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, like you said, Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas Buffalo. Looks unbeatable. Kansas City looks like crap. Yes.
Buffalo. They get beat by Jacksonville, get 6 points.
Yep.
Then they come back and stop the Jets.
Yep.
Then they get beat again yesterday. Bad.
I know.
Who was it? Somebody pounded them. Who pounded them? Beat them bad.
Who did beat them?
Yeah, somebody that shouldn't beat them.
Oh, the Colts.
Yeah,
right?
The Colts.
And,
oh, yeah.
And Houston.
Colts rush for 240 yards against the number one.
Jonathan Taylor's pretty good.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. But five
Houston beats the Titans.
Yes.
How do you figure?
Yeah.
Huh? How do you figure?
Yeah, that's right. Who's playing quarterback for them? Tyrod is back, right?
I've lost track of who's playing quarterback for them.
What are they going to do with Deshaun Watson? Are they just not paying him?
No, they are paying him not to play.
They're paying him not to play.
As far as I know, they're paying him not to play.
And
they're
going
to try and trade him eventually. But they can't trade him now because of all the pending legal situation.
Yes. Yeah, he's
litigation.
Yes. Is he criminally?
No.
Not yet, right?
It's all civil.
So this lawyer wants him to give him $25 million or something for the whole. It's all class action, right?
Yeah, that I don't know.
But
it might be by this point. But yeah, so they were going to try and trade him before the deadline, but you're not going to get fair value for him until the whole civil case is done. So I guess they're just going to wait now. It's a weird story.
With the public, at least, Dalvin thing disappeared, but that's still out there.
That's still out there. But again, it's not a criminal case.
No, it's
and
not.
So the league won't touch it.
No. Unless he settles, right?
Yeah, then they possibly could, but I don't think he's going to.
No. But
I think it's not.
He's got another one of those back in the day, right?
Yeah, in college.
That was
that's where I dropped.
That one went away. That one.
He was a first round pick before
that.
Yeah. So.
Well. All righty. It was a glorious weekend, and it could be even more glorious when we meet next Monday. We could be headed to the Big Ten title game.
How about that? Bring on the Buckeyes.
A team that lost to Bowling Green, 2-8. could be headed to the Big Ten. Boy, the Big Ten West is a nice division to be in.
It's a good year to be in it.
Huh?
It's a good year to be in it.
Yes, it is. It's always a good year to be in it, but really a good year this year. You can have slip-ups, and you can still play for the title.
All right.
I think, you know what else we'll find out? There won't be that many Badger fans. I don't think they're that fired up for this team.
I don't think this team's that good. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it again.
Sounds good.
Someday. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Hi, this is Daniel LaRue of the Real GM Radio Podcast. And while the NBA season is still pretty new, there are some interesting storylines going on. And for me, one of them is, let's call it a shift in expectations, because there are a couple teams that we expected to be not necessarily pushing the accelerator in the early going in the season, maybe seeing Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, this purportedly strong 2023 draft class, and going, hey, we could be a part of that. And that would be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams are over 500 with some nice wins. And this isn't fluky. They're playing well so far. And so we will see how they build on this, how they react to it. Do they keep pushing, see if it can keep going, or do they change directions through trades and everything else? So that'll be something to watch in this year where the draft class is strong and these teams have incentives going in both directions. Hi, this is Daniel LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.